I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
So I've actually been avoiding doing recording this episode. I'm in one of those points in my life where I'm very avoidant. I think we all go through those moments where we're like, go, 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 go. And then those moments where we're just like, what if we just stopped doing anything? And would anyone notice? And what the fuck would happen, right? I don't think avoidant phases are the best for us in general. It's usually because we are avoiding something, avoiding a truth, a reality, a fear, a new responsibility, what have you. But I think it's really important to acknowledge them, right? Like to acknowledge what's going on. It's a very like feel the feels, right? I talk about that a lot on the podcast. I talk about that a lot with my friends, family. That was the loudest honk ever I think I've ever had recorded on Awkward Sex. Gotta love remote recording. But it is, right? Like if we avoid the avoidant phase, then like what the fuck are we doing? I don't know if that makes any sense. I am actively working it out with you. Spoiler alert, there's like a crazy month of retrograde. I don't know enough about it, but I will say I'm definitely feeling it. And what am I avoiding? Why am I avoiding? Why am I avoiding doing this episode of the podcast that I love? Jesus Christ. And it's a Sunday night, y'all. It's a Sunday night in New York City, but it never sleeps, and we live on a fucking avenue. But you just kind of have to like respect it, right? The avoidance phase, the sounds, acknowledge, or you'll go fucking insane. Where was I? What am I avoiding? Where am I avoiding? How am I avoiding? So many ways, so many things. It was just my birthday, literally a week ago. Last Sunday was my birthday, 35. And I don't think this is a midlife crisis situation. I've had a lot of things change very abruptly on me these past few weeks. No, I'm not pregnant. That's not what's happening. But it definitely forced me to pause and be like, oh, what are you doing? And not only was it my birthday last week, and not only have there been like a lot of changes in my life recently, it's also the 10-year anniversary of Awkward Sex and City, the show. It's been around longer, obviously, the blog, but 10 years of doing this show live. And it's a weird feeling. I mean, and it was 5 years of the podcast this year, back in July, that I like completely bypassed, because this time goes by so quickly, and which I guess is a good thing. But then a lot of times you feel like, well, did I miss it? Did I miss it all? And the answer is no. It's just inherently, we can't stop time. You know, we can't stop, but we can only experience it. And like, think of how much we don't remember. But you look back and you look back at yourself 10 years ago and you look different and you felt different and your poops were different and your stomach was different, internally and externally, and your dreams were different and everything was different, and yet you're still the same. I am just also dying inside with laughter of just how active the street has been. I just feel like it's being so loud, like obnoxiously loud. And I find that fucking hilarious. It truly is a Sunday night and a very like picturesque Sunday. I'm just gonna let it go, y'all. I'm pretty sure that's a garbage truck. And normally they don't go until 3 a.m. because you fucking hear them. To me, the best part is like when this goes live, like, can you even hear it? I don't even know, because I don't listen to my podcast at all. I'm the worst podcast listener. I don't know why. There's a few that get me, but otherwise I'm more of a music gal. I like just turn my brain off, and what a void. But back to 10 years, like 10 years go by and you're completely different and exactly the same all at the same time. And it's just such a mind fuck. And I think that's a lot of the reasons why we don't think about it and we don't talk about it to ourselves, or maybe to friends and family. I don't know. And by we, I mean me, which also isn't true, because I also talk about everything to Aaron. Like, I'm pretty sure he's like, what if we kept a couple of thoughts, you know, inside your head? And I don't, I'm word vomit. Let's talk about everything, which is why a podcast, you know, works out so well for me. Why did these solo episodes, which I haven't done a solo episode in fucking forever, but I did really want this one to be a solo episode, and not with like an agenda. I didn't have like, I have no notes in front of me, which is how I did the old ones. But I was just like, this feels like it should be a solo episode, and maybe people will be on board and maybe people won't be on board. I don't know. I don't care. It's my fucking podcast. And today, when you go through these phases, right, and you hit like major milestones and things in your life, you're like, oh, I'm not nearly where I thought I would be at this point. And full stop, truly thought I'd be in a much different spot with the show and my creative career. Full stop. But then I think of that like Beyonce lyric where she's like, I disappeared. Don't think I'm just his little wife, right? Like, I just stop to live my life, something like that, right? And that's what happens. Like, you have these goals and you have these dreams, but then you live your fucking life as you should, and things are different. And not learning to be happy with them, because you are. They're great. There's great things, but learning how to, oh, okay. As Carrie Bradshaw said on the season finale of And Just Like That, learning to let go of expectations. And I will also say, side note, just such a fucking stan for season 2 of And Just Like That. Just just hitting themes that I think are so important and interesting. And sure, it is still a chaotic mess. And I still stand by my original opinion of Che as being a very messy partner, but also how like important it is to have that type of representation on screen, on stage, on TV, all that shit. And I think, especially if you are a millennial, like I think a lot was put in front of us and a lot was told, we were told like, oh, you're gonna do all these great things. Oh my God, if you were like an honor student or like one of those like quote unquote exceptional students, like I think reality as an adult is a little bit different than we were expecting, right? And I think for me personally, a lot of my expectations of my life were completely unfounded, and thank God. But then there's still a part of you being like, yeah, you know what? I actually did think I'd be famous at 35. And now the idea of that is like fucking, to me, fucking psychotic. But also a part of you grieves it a little bit when you hit these milestones in parts of your life. Like 10 years with this show, 10 fucking years. And it's actually, I didn't realize I did this. It's August 27th. And August 27th was the first show. August 27th, 2013 was the first show. And maybe that's why I've been voiding it. And sometimes I'm actually getting a little teary-eyed. Sometimes I just think like our body knows what we're avoiding and what we're, why, like our body knows the why before like our mind does. Like, I can't believe I didn't put that together. Someone just texted me and I saw the date and I was like, holy shit. So I will be going on Facebook memories after this episode just to look at my little baby face. And even that's a mind fuck, right? Like seeing a physical evidence of you 10, 15, 20 years ago and how different it is and how exactly the same it is. Or like even when like, you know, we were looking at baby pictures of like one of our nephews when they were super young, they were premature, and looking at them now, seeing him as, you know, older, years older, how you see that part of him in those baby pictures, how you see him already like forming, how you see that person is already there. And there's just something so fucking crazy about that to me. Will this get to dating and relationships? I think so, because I think this is a big theme in relationships, both romantic and platonic and familial, is that the word, like family. We have these expectations of what this is supposed to look like, that's supposed to look like. And we have those expectations of the people. Maybe I will go to this dance party tonight. They just texted me. It's in East Williamsburg, y'all. I don't want to go to East Williamsburg. I'm 35 years old. And I probably will go to a dance party in East Williamsburg at 10 o'clock at night. But that's also just the joy of New York City. And there is that TikTok. I don't know if you've seen it, where it's like, if you live in a city, you're like 22, if you're 35 or whatever. And if you live in a suburb, you're 45. And I do kind of feel like that's a little legit. And I need to put my phone on do not disturb, because I'm distracting myself, or my friends are distracting myself. That's not what I want. Do not disturb. Yeah, because this is also no cuts, no edits. Why not? Let's just be as real as possible. And I totally forgot where I was going with this. Expectations, getting older, seeing yourself. I'm going to pause and rewind. Okay, I'm back. What I was saying before was like, how does this get to right dating and relationships, these expectations? And we do, and we don't do it on purpose, but we do, right? It's 500 days of summer bullshit that we put on ourselves and our friends of like, this is what it's going to look like. And then this is what really happens. And the disappointment that comes with that. And then I feel like as you get older, these expectations weigh more in your mind when they don't really. And that's why there are these, like, you know, midlife crisis or like such weight put in, like milestones and stuff like that. And I also say this, all of this with a grain of salt, like, or take this with a grain of salt. Like, this is just like my opinion. This is obviously where I am at mentally right now with what has happened in the past few weeks, few months, 10 years for myself. And not everyone feels that way. And that's amazing. Feel the feels, be in whatever reality like you're in, or like, if that, does that make sense? When I'm like, whatever reality you're in, wherever you are is like where you are. It could be greater than this. It could be worse than this, but like, you are where you are. You are who you are. And how are we dictating that relationship with self, relationship with friends, relationship with romantic partners, relationship while searching for romantic partners or searching for friends? Like, what does that look like? And where are we shooting ourselves in our foot, shooting ourselves in our feet with these expectations and all of it? I even think like with like the literal act of sex, I see myself do it all the time of like, oh, this is what it should look like. And it doesn't. Or I saw myself do that in the past. Like, I definitely was, definitely a later bloomer when it came to sex. And I even just remember sex in the city, you know, that's when I really started experimenting, with different people. Like, I remember having sex. One of my favorite moments of my life was my year of dick after that bad relationship. And I'll never forget, like, going out on a date with this one dude in Williamsburg one night and like spending the night there and having like very mediocre sex. And there was a lot of like build up to it. And I think we both were expecting something super different. And I think we both like just truly on theme, on point for expectations. Like, I just remember being like, what the fuck was that? And I know he felt the same. I know he felt the same. Because after we had sex, we both like just stopped talking. We both like stopped texting. But what I love is that literally the very next day, because I lived in Manhattan this time, so I'm going from Manhattan to Williamsburg, back up to my apartment, and East Harlem. So like it's up there, it's a trek. Then back down to Brooklyn again. This time a different part of Brooklyn. I think he lived in Carroll Gardens, I think. And one of my favorite first dates. Because I love the bar. I still love the bar. Bar still exists. Boat. It's in Carroll. I think it's in Carroll Gardens and maybe Cobble Hill. None of this matters. That's very, I don't know. If you're not in New York, you're like, I don't give a fuck about what fucking neighborhood this is in. It was a boat. I feel like I'm doing all the talking. It's not like the best chemistry, but I think we both were going into it being like, you are someone that I'm going to have sex with, you know, repeatedly. And that is definitely what it turned into. It'd be like, if I was in the neighborhood, I'd literally text him and be like, hey, I'm in the neighborhood. And then like 15 minutes later, he'd be like, come to this bar. And I was like, perfect. Let me end up at this place. Because he also lived, what, ladies, gentlemen, alone. He did not have a roommate. But it was a very boys' apartment. But anyways, on this first date, and we were talking about The Godfather, and specifically Godfather 3. I had not seen them, any of them yet. I heard people were a fan. I heard they're critically acclaimed. I knew that much. I knew like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's not how it goes. Or, you know, take them to the mattresses or whatever. Thank you. You've got mail. And he's talking about Godfather 3, the Sofia Coppola dying scene. And he's like, it's a masterpiece. And if you ever want a conversation, if you're on a new date with someone who is, you know, a hetero boy, bring up the Sofia Coppola dying scene and just watch their eyes light the fuck up. But anyways, we're talking about that scene and he's like, it's really fucking funny. It's not supposed to be funny, but it's really fucking funny. Like, we should go see it. And like, you need to see it. And I was like, cool. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Date ends at this bar, Boat Bar. And I think it's just called Boat. I don't think it's called Boat Bar. It's just Boat. And he was like, do you want to go see the scene? And I was like, yeah, sure. And it was just one of those moments of like, we are just totally fucking. And truly, we go to his apartment. He doesn't have like a TV. He just puts up like his computer, and we watch literally just the scene, the Sofia Coppola dying scene. And then we both were just like, so now we're fucking, right? And that's why it's one of my favorite interactions with another human sexually in my life, because it was just so, so obvious that we both were like, and we're having sex. Like, and this is like what we're both in it for. And the fact that I was like 24 hours earlier, someone else was inside of me. And that is what I love about growing up and experimenting, you know, just like have all the things in and or around you sexually. And, but it goes back to Sofia Coppola dying in Godfather 3 gave me the expectation of like, we're fucking, like, I know this. And honestly, I hope that man has done it. I think he's married now, actually. I know he's married now because we're friends on Instagram still, and he'll like some of my posts sometimes, and he's literally said in the past like, oh, I need to start listening to your podcast. And I'm like, what if you did it? Like, sometimes they mention you, like I'm doing right now. Though I think he would get a kick out of it. And he's also a comedian. That's how we met. I just hope he did that. I hope that was his move. I hope that was his move. And I hoped it worked 70% of the time. Because it worked for me. I was like, fuck yeah. But I was also in a state of mind where I was actively looking for dick as much as possible. So much. And it was great. And I think I was also very upfront about it too. And I think when you, again, how many times can she say expectations in this episode? I think when you put that expectation out there too, and it's reciprocated, and it's very, consensual is not the right word that I want. Well, yes, consensual, but like it's both parties are happy, right? Both parties are down to clown consensually, I guess. I'm not on my A game, but maybe I am. I feel very on point, but also not at the same time. It's a little jarring to be doing solo again and not having that other person to work things out, talk things out with. And a solo episode's always kind of weird too, because it feels very vain, right? Like, I almost said like the height of hubris. Like, it just feels like the height of hubris to think that someone's going to want to listen to your opinions. And people do, which is, again, crazy. Truly don't take my advice, but also take my advice to just think that or be that or be in that place. Circle back around, Natalie. Let's get back on point. There was also... Sorry, spoilers for And Just Like That, but there's a scene where they're like, what am I going to let go of, right? Because she's letting go of the apartment for something bigger, for something better. And these are spoilers, I do apologize, but it's been a couple weeks now, so I'll just spoilers. And one person says fear, one person says expectations. We're all trying to let go of something. There's something holding every one of us back. There's some things holding every one of us back. And I don't know if you ever hit a place where there's nothing holding you back. I don't know. I hope so. I think that'd be really cool. And I hope it's sooner than when we're older and we feel like we can't appreciate it or take advantage of it. But a part of me thinks that it doesn't exist. I think that you always have something kind of holding you back. Fear, anger. I can't think of anything else. I had something and I forgot it. I think fear of success holds people back. I think fear of failure holds people back. Money, time, cars honking left and right, trying to get around a bus. That's the B65 going by right now. That's giving you a clue to where I live. And I just wonder what it would feel like to have no expectations, to have nothing holding you back, nothing that you care about, no one else's opinions care about. Like, does that exist? Are there really people out there that don't care what other people think? Because I care so much. I care what Aaron thinks. I care what my family thinks. I care what my friends think. I care what animals think of me when I meet them. Like, if an animal doesn't like me, I am destroyed for a week, you know? And so part of me is like, it doesn't exist. Like, we all have these insecurities, right? But then it probably does exist. There are probably people out there that don't care about what I think of them or what we think of them or societal pressures or expectations or fears, and don't care about milestones. They don't care they've done this one thing for 10 years or 5 years or a month or 2 months. They don't care about romantic milestones, friendship milestones. Now, I'm not sure if that's a fun person, but I think I just took it a little too far. Like, I just wonder, what is it like to not care? Is that truly that precious moment that we've heard about, that like, if we just get here, all these doors, all these things open up? But then that begs the question, for me at least, why do I want all these doors to open up? What else do I need? Are you ever just content exactly where you are? I think that is very hard to find in New York City. I would say probably for LA as well. I don't know about other cities that much, but I think we are bred, or we are attracted to, a city like New York or LA for that like hustle and bustle, for that wanting more, for that need to prove. Like, what would it be like to have no need to prove yourself to other people? Today I was walking home. Well, today I went to go see a movie with a friend, which was great, and went grocery shopping and was like, look at me. I was like, look at me be so great. And then I was going home and I got on the wrong train. And this is not a train, this is not a station where I'm not familiar with. This was my train station for years when I worked at Trader Joe's. And I got on an express train that took me to a completely different neighborhood in one stop. And I just remember being like, what the fuck? And a few things I noticed was, one, I didn't freak the fuck out. And I was like, okay, cool. You're in a better spot mentally than you thought. You're not freaking out. You do know, like, you've added an extra 30 minutes to your trip somehow. And you've got raw beef in your bag from Trader Joe's. So great job. So you're not upset at that. And then also, you went to Trader Joe's. Usually when I go to Trader Joe's, I hide. I don't like to say hi to people, because I was always assuming they were upset that I left. And I have run into people that I worked closely with, and they were like, yeah, we were really fucking sad you left, but we're sad you left and didn't say anything, which is like true. I just called in because it was also like COVID, and like, we weren't going outside. You know, I wasn't going to go to this place filled with people, and I just kind of assumed like my manager would tell, and I don't, anyways, it doesn't matter. But I ended up being rung up by someone that I worked with, and I didn't recognize him because he had really long hair, and it was like really curly, and when we worked together, he had very short hair, and truly just completely changes his face. And he was like, you worked here before, right? And I was like, yeah, I did, but I was like, but like years ago, like I quit during COVID. And he was like, no, like, you're good. But he's like, but that totally gives you like the discount. Like, he gave me like the employee discount, and I was like, okay, sure. Love that for me. So there was that, right? Like, I'd always hide because I expected people to be upset with me. Fun fact about me, I hate people being mad at me, and I hate the idea of upsetting people, which is what I'm getting to. Two, right? I completely fuck up getting home somehow, even though I've lived in the city for 12 plus years. And three, I was walking home and I realized that I have pissed off some people recently. And they've pissed me off too, but like this is very recent. But I was like, oh, you disappointed people. You pissed people off. You disappointed them. And that's why there was these like certain like repercussions. And in that moment, I realized how happy I was that I had made people pissed. I was like, these people don't like you anymore. And I really struggle with that. I'm a huge people pleaser. And all of a sudden, I'm just walking home with like my probably kind of warm like ground beef, being like shit eating grin, being like, I did it. I pissed people off. People don't like me. I don't like them either, but I know for a fact they don't like me either. And you didn't explode and you're not going crazy. And like, you did it. You did that thing that you always wanted, right? To not be this people pleaser. And don't worry, I still have a lot of people pleasing in front of me. Don't worry. It's a very, very long journey. But it was like, well, looky there. And it was like, what type of relationship do I want to call it? It was a type of relationship where I would really struggle. And I was in the beginning like really upset that I like had upset these people. And then I was like truly just like a flip of a switch, which is like, ha, you did it, bitch. You're that bitch. And while everything's changed drastically, it was like, this is for the good. But then again, it goes all back to like these weird expectations and fears and how much it drives us and what we do and how we act and how we react and how we treat people and how we treat ourselves. And that's why I'm like, I just don't think it exists to not have these like fears and expectations. And I don't know if you can hear me moving. I'm on my bed. I don't know if you can hear it moving in the background, but like, do you struggle with disappointing people? Do you struggle with the idea of doing something bad or wrong or incorrectly? And something very minuscule, something that does not matter. Like, I'm not talking like, oh no, they're gonna be mad. Like, I shot this person in the leg on accident. I don't know. And like something small, like something very, very small. But sometimes that's enough to make someone really not like you. And that's why sometimes being alive is the weirdest thing in the world. That and like capitalism, like we should all, this beautiful Sunday, we should all be outside eating grapes, I feel like, and being naked. That is probably my perfect world. And it'd have to be cotton candy grapes. I really like cotton candy grapes. I don't like sour grapes, but I will be naked and eating cotton candy grapes for the rest of my life if I could do that. And we didn't have to worry about money. And then also like tell some jokes here and there and be like a bitch in time. I feel like I've hit that point in the solo episode where it's starting to sound a little unhinged, but also kind of makes sense to me. And at the end of the day, I do feel like the solo episodes are just for me. What was wild, I remember when COVID happened, another bus. We were going through, my producer at the time and I were going through the stats, and she was like, your solo episodes like get like double the numbers, which is just so humbling in so many ways. And I'm excited to bring them back. I'm excited to not be afraid of them again. But as much as I just said in this episode of like expectations, reality, fears, a fucking motorcycle, I don't know. I truly thought waiting till the evening it wouldn't be as loud, and I have just been so, so wrong. But I know I was saying previously, like, what would it be like to not have these feelings, thoughts, expectations, fears, blah, 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 blah. I really can't see it any other way. It really does sometimes feel like that is, like, what propels us forward. and that that's also okay, that it's okay to want that to move forward. Whatever area you want that in, whatever time you want that in, like, what does it look like? How does it feel? Who are you? See, it's just getting unhinged. Now I'm just like saying shit just to say shit. But I do want to thank you. It has been 5 years on the podcast. It has officially been 10 years with the live show. And while I'm definitely not where I thought I would be 10 years later, I've definitely seen a lot of highs and a lot of lows. And it's been super, super messy majority of the time. And I've lost friends. I've gained friends. I've lost money. I've made money. Sometimes it's just been kind of very stagnant. This whole year, I've struggled finding a monthly slot. It used to be a monthly slot in the city. And I've had to learn the old venue, I had complete control, right? And I've had to learn how to like let go of some control of it and let go of like, you're not in charge when like you're doing it with a venue and things like that. If you made it this far, also my 10-year anniversary show is at Club Coming on August 30th, this Wednesday at 8 p.m. I'm super excited for it. It's me, Calvin Cato, Melissa Rich, Jen Keefe, Carolina, Teresa can't be on it because she'll be in Greece, which I'm super jealous of and super excited for her. But it's going to be a really fun show. I'm very, very excited. I'd love to have you there. August 30th, Club Coming. Hopefully Club Coming is maybe the new monthly spot. If not, it'll be okay. I'll let go of that expectation. And I'm not a everything happens for a reason type of person. I do really hate that. And I think that's a slap in the face for a lot of people with a lot of things that they're dealing with. But I do like to think in a lot of scenarios, things just work out. That sometimes things fizzle out when they're supposed to. Whether it's friendships, relationships, family shit, jobs, hobbies. And that hopefully we're in a place where we can all know that while what we want maybe feels out of reach, it's really not. Or what we want and need is way closer or already there. And I think that's cool. I like knowing 10 years later, 12 years in the city, 10 years with this show, that I'm still pretty optimistic, that I'm not as much of a people pleaser as I used to be, that I am willing to piss people off and have people dislike me. And I think that's really cool and really, and I hope you get to experience that too. If you struggle with being a people pleaser, you might be like, I'm a bitch 24/7. Okay, I'm a cunt all day, every day. And you know what? I respect that. I applaud that. Do that. Go reward yourself with some Taco Bell. Don't go to the one Times Square. Not always the best quality, but it is a cantina. And I do really thank you for listening this long and for being a part of the podcast and a part of this show. And I hope if you have something that you've been working on this long too, that you are proud of yourself. And that you remember, now I'm just speaking to myself, and that you remember that like you got yourself through the highs and the lows. And isn't that just like what life is? I'm so sorry. I will vomit immediately after I stop recording this. I promise you. Oh my God. And then I have to go get ready for a dance party that I was not planning on going to. But now, doing this episode, it does like kind of reinvigorate you. Like it does put you in a different mindset, a different spot. And just take care of yourself and what you need. And maybe think about what are your expectations? What are you constantly putting on yourself that maybe doesn't need to be there? What are you constantly putting on other people that maybe isn't fair to them? What fears are unnecessary and what fears that you have maybe are valid. Yeah. You're like, you know what? I am very afraid of ghosts. I'm not going to take that away from myself. You know what? You don't have to. I'm very like, ghosts and aliens. I feel like that conversation comes a lot with my friends. And I've always been like, while I don't believe they exist, I respect them. You know what I mean? Like if a ghost popped up, I'd be like, yeah, yeah. Story tracks, or like an alien pops up and we all really bypass the whole alien thing, except we all have that one friend that's like really into it and you're just like, I don't know, not until I see pictures, man, like what are we talking about? But it's like, I think like the actual idea of it, it's like just too big for me to like really grasp or want to deal with, so I just say no. But if it did just drop in front of me, I'd be like, yeah, okay, that's fair, you do exist. On that note, I hope you guys are good. I hope you are in a good spot. I hope you're having a great summer. If you're ready for fall, good for you. I'm really not. I'd fully believe that summer does not end until about October. And if you're in the city, I hope to see you at Club Coming on August 30th, 8 p.m. And I can't wait to talk to you guys again. We'll see y'all very soon. Bye.